I'm not known for doing a lot, but I do my best work when the weather's hot, hot. I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
So hand me one. So Rob, quickly tell us a little bit more about our celebration beer that Arizona Farm Bureau's partnered with Ellsworth Brewing. And I want to talk more about the farmer ag connection.
Sure, sure. Well, I know it's also using grain from Grain R&D. That would be unmalted, and it's usually there for body and color and some flavor. But this is a California common style or steam beer. The most classic example is Anchor Steam, who have led the way in the 60s, believe it or not, for the craft beer movement, Fritz Maytag. But this is supposed to have a rustic character, and I think that lends itself well because the base malts grown here are not going to be the same. We're at a different parallel, right, from classic grain belt, which is, northern part of the country between, Washington State all the way to Minnesota, that grain. So it's going to have that rustic character. It would be more akin to what you would be able to get when things were produced. Everything was produced locally.
And we want rustic. Arizona Farm Bureau is celebrating 100 years this year. So I've tried it, and I think it's excellent. It's a very good beer.
It's a great everyday beer, and it has all of the characters you'd want in something like that to tell that story, for sure.
So, we have our farmer. We have our craft brewer guy here. So, and I always say that beer, like wine, is an ag product. And I know a lot of our craft brewers are really trying to tap into some of the talents of our farmers. Mark, they've already used your peaches. Would you ever grow some of the grains that they might need, or make sense where you're at?
It does, because Queen Creek has amazing soil. We used to grow a lot of durum wheat. We have a good friend of mine, Steve Sossman, who grows grains out there for his flowers and for beers. And so we wouldn't, because that's not our niche. Our niche is fruit and vegetables and getting people out to the farm to actually pick fresh fruits and vegetables. But it's certainly done and can expand.
In fact, our Durum Desert Wheat, which is a registered brand, is sought after because of its quality. I think 3 or 4 months ago, we talked about that. And the Desert Durum Wheat is very much sought after by the Italians for the pasta. So going back to that point, Rob, what farmers have you worked with?
Well, I don't work at any of the farmers at all. I work with the breweries. But I know in terms of what breweries are looking for, first and foremost, I mean, the chief ingredient is water, which is local. But most of the things historically have been shipped in. The large amounts of grain needed, hops. People think we can grow hops here, but it's hours of daylight per day, not total daylight, because it is much like wine. You have to grow it in a certain period of time. It grows very quickly, several feet, a day in the right conditions. We try to make the agricultural connection because I think we want to tell stories and we want to support our farms. And so it is fruit generally, not vegetables, but pumpkins for sure. That is an American addition to the beer story. There weren't pumpkin beers before United States. Apples. We also work with the meaderies and cideries too here in Arizona.
Awesome.
So apples, desert things too as well. Prickly pear characters. Cactus is a very popular item. But in terms of getting the base grain situation, main issue.
Yeah, it's really appreciate those craft brewers that try to reach out and make some of that local ag connection, like Mark, for your point, the peaches, and just the quality and the craftsmanship of some of our craft brewers and everything. That's why I felt like I need to pull you in, Rob, because you're kind of representing them all.
Well, we need to do these small fun projects, and they lead to other things, because I would have never dreamed that we would be able to have malted barley in Arizona 10 years ago, before I started this job. And to have that here now and to see potentially for something like that to be an everyday part of all of our beers, that's a career goal right now to do that.
So cool. Any favorite beers?
The one I'm in my hand is always the answer. Yes. But we do have a series called Rebuild the Guild that help our organization. We're not able to do live events. This was a coffee pale ale from Oso. It has my little character on it.
Love it.
Yeah. So if you see anything that says Rebuild the Guild, that helps our organization directly because we weren't able to do events for like 14 months now.
Working through his college at NAU, my cousin picked up a job at Beaver Street Brewery. And, you know, they have what they call growlers, and it's a gallon of beer, and it's always a glass in each microbrewery. You know, a lot of them will have their own custom labeling on it. And he started collecting them for his change, and we started doing that. And it just, out of that, it became like a little bit of a hobby to seek out microbreweries and get a growler from each of the different ones. I think I probably have, I don't know, about 10 or 15, and looking at your list of 110, I've got a lot of work to do here to complete my Arizona growler collection.
You certainly do. We extend from Colorado City, of all places, to Bisbee, to Yuma, and all points in between.
And you were talking about the fact that there was 20, did I have that right, 20 new breweries in Phoenix in the last couple of years. I mean, there, I don't know any other industry that has grown. It's not like there's 20 new grocery stores, 20 new car dealerships, 20 new...
Sure.
That's significant.
Well, I mean, nationwide, since the 90s to today, we've gone from literally 12 breweries to 9,000. Our growth rate is similar to that, but Arizona is a very unique state in that, you know, Phoenix is a very large, populous city, but it also spread out the rest of the state, you know. We don't have the mining towns like Colorado does, and we don't have a city at every freeway exit like a lot of places on the East Coast. But this is, again, why I say our beer will be an expression of who we are as a state and what we choose to celebrate, and it will be driven by our mistakes too. So I take it very personally. I'm very proud of what we do.
So Rob was talking about some of the special things they're doing with the Guild. Mark, tell us a little bit more of some of the things that you're offering, any specials, and then the fact that you're celebrating your 80th year in farming.
Yep, it's our 80th anniversary this year, so despite COVID, we're doing a great job of celebrating. We are hosting the Schneff Farms Agritainment Park, which is a theme park with over 25 rides and attractions right now. It goes on every evening, every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday evening. We are offering special family four packs for $89. And when you get your ticket, your entrance, you can go on all the rides as many times as you want. And so you just go online at schnefffarms.com, and there'll be a link, and you can actually get those family four packs, or just come and enjoy. The tickets at the door are $29 to come and do that. But it's also peach season, and we're going to be starting peaches again. People are going to need to order those online because we don't sell more than what we pick. And so they'll need to order those online for the next day. They'll be able to pick those up, and we will have limited U-pick available on the peaches by ticket, which, again, you have to go on our website and get a ticket to come on and actually do the U-pick.
And that's how you've managed the ability to at least have a certain number of people on the farm, but without breaking any of the COVID constraints.
And we don't do it anymore, but when we hosted our Peach Festival, we had as many as 15,000 people in one day.
Whoa.
Just can't do that. So, yes, so we have to cap the number, limit the number, and that's how we do it, is by having people order online pre-picked peaches, or getting a ticket at no cost to come on a particular day at a particular time to pick you pick peaches.
Yeah.
And as long as you're going down there, you might as well shop in the shop.
Absolutely. I mean, we have an amazing, thank you for that.
Yeah, there's so much stuff on here. I'm coming. There's salsa and hot sauces, preserves and jellies, fresh baked goods. As long as you're going down there, just load up.
Yeah, we have lots of stuff. And our garden, too. We have all different kinds of organic U-pick vegetables that people can enjoy, plus all the entertainment that's going on. So that's why we call it agritainment, because there's really good, fresh fruits and vegetables, as well as just a lot of family fun.
Now, are y'all running the train right now?
We are. The train is one of the 25 attractions that we're running, but it runs during the day as well, so you can just come during the day if you want on the weekends, and pay for a train ride to go around the farm, and then if you want to wait until 5 o'clock in the evening, then we open up and pay for a ticket to come on in and enjoy the other 24 rides and attractions.
And is the little sandwich shop open too?
It's our bakery. So we're not currently doing sandwiches, but my gosh, we're baking all kinds of amazing things, including the peach cinnamon rolls and peach pies, and the tarts and the puff pastries. And I mean, my wife Carrie is just really getting into, she does some specialty stuff and breads too. We do incredible breads. So lots of good calories there.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, this is what you get when you get businesses that are folded into the community. They adapt to the conditions. I'm sure, we discussed a little bit about adapting to COVID and all that stuff, but that's what we try to do with our breweries. We try to fold them in the community. So like, we do what the community wants and what the opportunities are. So that's just my request to support all the industries and breweries and farms and people who are invested in the community. I mean, that's really why we have a common language between each other.
And for people that are curious what farms they can still go to through a limited number, through signing up on their website, in the case of Schneff, it's Schneff's Farms. Just Google that. You'll find their website. You can go also fillyourplate.org. Fill Your Plate has a searchable list of farms that you can still visit. Again, we're in COVID. I'm trusting this is the tail end of the pandemic. We won't be talking about it anymore next year. We can visit other farms. There's Mortimer Farms up north. There's Apple Annie's down south. I like to always kind of, and it goes back to your point, Rob, that, you know, they've embedded themselves in the community and they've created an environment for families to enjoy each other in kind of a fun-filled day. And what's the best place to do that? On these farms that you can visit. So we don't just have Oktoberfests anymore.
Right.
Schneff Farms, you're year-round. And actually, I want to give you props on this. And Carrie, absolutely. She has her fingers in everything, including some of that famous Schneff bread that you get, the dough, famous bread that you guys produce. But you guys are one of the first agritainment farms here in the state of Arizona, correct?
We're one of the first. We weren't the first. Young's, I think, was up in Prescott, in that Prescott area. And Apple Annie's was going on down in the Wilcox area. But we, and then there's a couple, Duncan's were in operation at that point in time as well. However, we have grown fast and we are one of the largest agritainment farms in the entire country now.
Really?
With over 300,000 visitors that come and visit our farm with all of the events that we do. We have three wedding venues, so we're doing over 150 weddings a year at the farm. We host concerts. We have special events and corporate events and all kinds of things that really bring people out to the farm to enjoy that type of atmosphere.
And you have four kids, and the four of them are embedded in the farm, too. Your oldest is really involved.
They are. Carrie and I have worked our fannies off over the years when it would have been much easier just to sell the farm. And so we have four kids, and they're all involved in it.